So today we're looking at the last individual where Mahaprabhu resides, or the last place, and it's in the house of Raghava Pandit. I must admit, I didn't know that much about Raghava Pandit, and I was asking different individuals who this Raghava Pandit was, but in looking at a few verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll speak some words. And this verse is specifically from the chapter Lord Chaitanya, he accepts prasadam in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu carries on in this verse after speaking on Raghava Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. And when we look at the life of Raghava Pandit, we find that he paid great attention to the detail of how we serve Krishna. And specifically, obviously, great detail how he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So this was his great quality, that detail was something he really paid attention to. The verses continue here. Apart from other commodities, just hear about his offering of coconuts. And Raghava Pandit was famous for this coconut pastime. And the verse goes on to say, coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandas each. Now, we all know about coconuts. Whenever we go to India, there are coconuts. And we take pleasure in those coconuts. And here, Raghava Pandit is offering those same coconuts to the deities. In fact, even on festival days, specifically tomorrow, you'll see when they have the 108 preparations, they always have green coconuts, or dobs, as we call them. Practically all the festivals have seen that they offer those coconuts. So Raghava Pandit was offering them every day. And he goes on to say, although he already has hundreds of trees, because he actually owned huge orchards, Raghava Pandit, specifically because he wanted to offer this fruit to the deity of Krishna, he had orchards, not just of coconuts, of other fruits as well. And he had millions of fruits as well. But still, he was very eager to hear about the place where sweet coconuts are available. Because often when you buy a coconut, you remember, you always tell which is the sweet one. And they always say it's this big one. And it never is. And then he says, well, maybe it's this one. And then you probably, by the time you get to about 4, you get to the sweet one. It's a local trick use, so you buy 4 coconuts instead of 1. So Raghava Pandit was very conscious that he wanted to offer sweet coconuts to the Supreme Lord. And he would travel many far distant places to find them. And it carries on. He collects coconuts from places 20 miles away. If he hears that there is a place and there are sweet coconuts, and it could be 20 miles away, and that's usually a long distance when you haven't got a Tata Sumo 500 years ago. You're going to have to get onto the bullock carts. 20 miles is a long way. And he would pay, right now, originally the coconuts were costing 5 gandas, but he would be paying up to 8 gandas, higher price. A higher price to get sweeter coconuts from somewhere far away. So he was paying great attention to offer Lord Krishna something that he felt would be satisfying. Every day, 5 to 7 coconuts were clipped and put into water to cool down. So obviously, usually on a hot day, we want a cool dob. And usually the water is quite cool. But you can imagine if it was really cold, that would be really nice. Coconut water, which was very, very cold. And of course, nowadays you can have that. You can buy clipped coconuts. They're clipped and they're chopped at the top, and there's a seal on them on Ealing Road or anywhere, and you can put this in your fridge So it's very cool. And you'll obviously offer it to the deity first before you have it. So Raghava Pandit was the same. He was thinking, how can I keep these coconuts cool? So he had placed them in water for a long time so they become cooled, especially the Ganga, very cold. So the coconuts become very, very cool. At the time of offering bhoga, the coconuts were again clipped and cleansed. Ai Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gaura Nithaiki. The coconuts were clipped and cleansed again. So although he cooled them in the water, again he cleaned them, again he clipped them, a hole was placed at the top, and then it was offered to his deity of Krishna. So he paid great attention. And why does Mahaprabhu always reside in the house of Raghava Pandit? Here it states, Lord Krishna drinks the juice from these coconuts, and sometimes the coconuts are left drained of juice. At other times, the coconuts remain filled with juice. So after he's offered them and he has a look, there is nothing, there is no water left in the coconuts. So this was his devotion. This was the detail that he paid attention to. Krishna personally drank that coconut water. So much devotion was there. But he wouldn't stop there. After offering that coconut, or as it says here, 5 to 7 coconuts every day, he would then cut the coconut, break it, because if you remember, whenever you have coconuts in India, after you've drunk the water, you can have the coconut cut, and then you can eat the inside of the coconut, the flesh. Very, very healthy. So here again, he would break the coconut, take out the pulp, and put it onto another plate to be offered. So it wasn't just a simple scenario. He was going through great lengths. And after offering the pulp, he would meditate outside the deity room. In the meantime, Lord Krishna, having eaten the pulp, leaves the plate empty. So we're offering so many things. And so Krishna here personally, there's nothing left at the end. When he comes into the deity room, and there are of course many, many stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Puranas, where somebody is offering something to the deities and they come back and there's nothing there. Nothing is left. I remember Tribhuvanath giving a class here once, and he was speaking of when he was looking after Radha Landanishwar, that he remembers very much that he remembers that sometimes offerings were made and to his knowledge no one was running into the pujari room, and when he would come back after the offering from Landanishwara, there was many sweets missing. So either he concluded that, you know, either there was a pujari who had a hidden trap door, or Landanishwara was definitely taking some of the sweets. And he even recalls that the pujaris would tell him that the outfits don't fit anymore. And I think Savamangal Prabhu is here, who's our original pujari here at Landanishwara. She might even recall, and we can ask her later on. At least Tribhuvanath mentioned that, you know, it's not that we had the clothes dry cleaned or washed or they shrunk or... But just somehow, he said, they weren't fitting Landanishwara. It put on weight somehow through... And so here, again, we're looking at the principle that the coconut that was being offered, it was being eaten. One day it so happened that about 10 coconuts were properly clipped and brought by a servant to offer to the deity. And this is the famous story of how Raghava Pandit really had such high standards. And particularly, The two principles of deity worship are, and this is something Raghava Pandit exemplified, punctuality and cleanliness. These are two instructions that Mother Jamuna received from Srila Prabhupada about deity worship. Punctuality, always to be on time. That's why, you know, the curtain always opens at arati time, on time. The offering bells are always ringing at the right time. And cleanliness. These are two principles of deity worship. And Raghava Pandit very much looked at these two principles. When the coconuts were brought, there was little time to offer them because it was already late. The servant holding the coconuts remained standing at the door. So this pastime, which you might recall, is that Raghava Pandit saw that the servant who had brought the coconuts had touched the ceiling, because he had a big, on his head he had the coconuts. And he touched the ceiling, and then he touched the coconuts. So Raghava Pandit, who noticed that, immediately stopped the offering. And he said, now they are no longer fit to be offered to Krishna because they have been contaminated. Because the doorway contains the dust from so many places. And Raghava Pandit said, because he had such high standards, that you've touched the door, now you touch the coconut before they're offered, they cannot be offered, they're contaminated. And hence he threw the coconuts away and he ordered a fresh batch of coconuts to come. And again they were clipped and cleansed. And with great attention, he offered them to the deity to eat. In this way, from distant villages, he collected excellent bananas, mangoes, oranges, jackfruits, whatever other first-class fruits he has heard about. So it wasn't just coconuts. It looked like he had orchards of other fruits. But he offered all of these fruits to the Supreme Lord. All these fruits were collected from distant places and bought at a high price. So he was a wealthy personality. After trimming them with great care and purity, Raghava Pandit offers them to the deity. We very much find this very similar, that when Srila Prabhupada was with us, and the disciples would always want to serve him to a high standard as well, just like Raghava Pandit. And they would look for fruits from distant places as well. This is the story of Aitreya Rishi, who was preaching in Iran. And whenever he would fly in to see Prabhupada in Delhi, he would bring fresh fruits from Iran, freshly picked dates and pomegranates that he would personally bring for Srila Prabhupada. So we find that even in the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they had this mood of getting the best of what was there. What to speak of, Raghava Pandit was looking at 12 miles away. Aitreya Rishi was, you know, a few thousand miles, and he was flying in with first-class fruit. I even remember there was a devotee here in the 70s, and you might remember him. His name was Chaturbhuj. Indian gentleman, not initiated or anything. And whenever Prabhupada would come here, Prabhupada loved mangoes. So at that time in the 70s, the only mangoes that were available were in Leicester. They were all the way in Leicester. So a Kandari would phone Chaturbhuj that Prabhupada has come, 74, 75 at that time. And he would drive all the way from Leicester, which is a long distance, not a long distance nowadays, but he would drive all the way from Leicester and bring Prabhupada a box of mangoes, Indian mangoes. So we find those details even in the disciples and friends of Srila Prabhupada, that they would think, let us serve Srila Prabhupada, just as the example is there, Raghava Pandit here. Going on in this pastime. Thus, the great care and attention Raghava Pandit prepares not only the fruits, but it goes on to mention spinach, because Mahaprabhu loved spinach. But here's to his deed. Other vegetables, radish, fruits, clipped rice, or chipped rice, powdered rice, sweetmeats, Raghava Pandit also offered all kinds of pickles, such as kasamdi. He offers various scents, garments, ornaments, and the best of everything. So it looked like the principle Raghava Pandit had was the best of anything should be offered to the Supreme Lord. Thus, Raghava Pandit served the Lord in an incomparable way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking here. Everyone is very much satisfied just to see him. So this is the incomparable service of Raghava Pandit. In looking at the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are some other pastimes of Raghava Pandit, but these pastimes, or the variety of pastimes, attracted all the denizens of heaven to come every day and witness these pastimes. It's said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing all of these pastimes, all the demigods would come and observe the variety of pastimes that were taking place. Either they were incognito, observing these pastimes as different personalities, or they were observing them from above, but they were observing all of these pastimes. And specifically they were moved tremendously in the pastime of Jagai and Madai. Because the demigods were wondering, how is it that we can be delivered? So when they witnessed how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so easily delivered Jagai and Madai, they became very moved and they danced in jubilation that there is great hope for us. So this is the demigods who are quite highly placed. They're wondering how are they going to be delivered. So the day after Jagai and Madai delivered, the next day the demigods came in a great celebration because they realized that there is great hope for us. If Mahaprabhu can deliver Jagai and Madai, and specifically Madai, what to speak of all of us? So at that time, Yamaraj came in his chariot to observe what was going on. Of course, he would come every day, but he then requested his scribe, Chitragupta, and he asked him, how is it that Jagai and Madai have been delivered? It baffles me. So Chitragupta said, well, it's baffling us because the amount of sins that they've committed, we couldn't even record. So Yamaraj said, well, how many sins have they committed? So Chitragupta said, even if there were 100,000 scribes like myself, who were to record the sins that Jagai and Madai performed, that would not be adequate to record their sins. 100,000 scribes like myself. And then Chitragupta went on to say, and even if you, Yamaraj, were to obtain 100,000 years to listen to these sins, that would not be sufficient. So upon hearing this, Yamaraj, he fainted in his chariot. He just fainted in his chariot. He could not believe. Because this is like, you know, the Guinness Book of Records, you know. If there was a Guinness Book of Records for the amount of sins you can commit, this would get top of the list. So upon fainting, of course, Chitragupta ran to his aid and said, why have you fainted? And seeing this, all the other demigods arrived. And Lord Shiva, upon observing Yamaraj, noticed that he hadn't fainted, but he was exhibiting symptoms of love of God upon hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he realized that the only way to revive Yamaraj was to chant in his ears, very loudly, as Jaipataka Swami does in his classes. Gauranga! 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 And immediately Yamaraj jumped up and he started dancing. And of course, upon seeing this dancing, Lord Shiva immediately became compelled to dance Indra, Chandra, even Chitragupta. The scribe was in the whirlwind of this dancing, and there was tumultuous dancing over Navadvip, and all the demigods were dancing away. So these are some of the incomparable pastimes that we can look at. And Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions this specifically, that the demigods were coming to observe all of these different pastimes, and specifically the pastimes here of Raghava Pandit. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the story is mentioned of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at the village of Panihati. And everybody knows where Panihati is. Panihati is just on the way from Calcutta. If you leave Calcutta on your way to Mayapur, just practically when you're leaving Calcutta on the outskirts, there is the village of Panihati, and the famous chipped rice festival took place. And Raghava Pandit resided at Panihati. This is where his house was. So if you go there, you'll still find the house. In fact, the samadhi of Raghava Pandit is also there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he would come with Lord Nityananda, they would stay at the house of Raghava Pandit and Markavadwaj Khan. They would stay at these two families' places. And when Lord Nityananda, he arrived, he felt a strong urge within himself to dance. And whenever it's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nityananda had a strong urge to eat something, you know, there would be a mango grove or dance or to have kirtan, different personalities would appear. So that it's said that when Nityananda desired to dance, Madhava Ghosh appeared there immediately. Madhava Ghosh was the best of the kirtan singers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it said that specifically he was expert because he would sing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, which were the favorite kirtans of Lord Nityananda. These were the favorite kirtans. So Madhava Ghosh appeared, he was dancing, and Lord Nityananda began to dance in great ecstasy at the house of Raghava Pandit, and the whole earth was moving upon this dancing. And then Lord Nityananda sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu and said that now it is time for Abhishek. So immediately, all the different devotees, they immediately started to get Ganga water, because the Ganga flows just past Panihati. The Ganga's just there. And they carried hundreds of pots filled with Ganga water, perfumed them with delicate aromas, and one after the, all the devotees, one by one, poured water over the head of Lord Nityananda. And Raghava Pandit had said that in this Leela held the umbrella during the Abhishek. Like tomorrow we'll be having the Abhishek of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And there's someone who always holds the umbrella. Someone is bathing, someone is offering the arati. So Raghava Pandit's duty was always to hold the umbrella. So he holds the umbrella of Lord Nityananda. And during the Abhishek ceremony, Lord Nityananda, he requested, Raghava Pandit, you bring me a garland of kadamba flowers. So Raghava Pandit said to Lord Nityananda, but this is not the season for kadamba flowers. There are no kadamba flowers right now. And Lord Nityananda said, I'm very fond of kadamba flowers. In fact, I'm attracted to stay in the kadamba forest, like Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda very much likes the kadamba forest. So when Raghava Pandit said, this is not the season, Lord Nityananda pressed him gently and said, go and look carefully in the garden. You may still find some. So when Raghava Pandit went into the garden, it's not the season for kadamba flowers. And in the garden there was a lemon tree, a tree where lemons grow. And on the lemon tree he found hundreds of kadamba flowers. So he picked these kadamba flowers and he immediately strung them into a garland, and he came in and he placed this garland on Lord Nityananda. So these were some of the miracles that happened during the time of Raghava Pandit. The Vaishnavas were intoxicated by the aroma of the kadamba flowers, and they became fascinated by this miracle. But soon another miracle took place at the same time. And Lord Nityananda, he said, "Do you all smell another fragrance in this room?" And everyone could smell the strong fragrance of the drona flower. Very strong smell the drona flower has. So everyone was smelling this and they were wondering, we had kadamba and now there's drona flower. It's huge, which is, I don't know what kind of a flower it is, but it has a very strong scent. So Lord Nityananda, he said to everyone that another miracle has happened, that Lord Chaitanya has come from Nilachal. He's all the way in Puri. But seeing that all of you were chanting and dancing in this kirtan, he personally came to witness this kirtan. And he's laden with donor flowers. And he's wearing this garland around his neck. And hence, you can all smell that fragrance. So Mahaprabhu always was present at a variety of festivals. And here, specifically, he appears in the house of Raghava Pandit. Hence the verse that we're talking about today, that he is always present in the house of Raghava Pandit. Even when he's all the way in Nilachal, he appears here in the house of Raghava Pandit. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, we find some more information about Raghava Pandit. And I'll read some of the verses from there. Raghava Pandit Prabhur Adya Anuchar Tanra Eka Sakya Mukya Makadvajkara. Raghava Pandit, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's original follower, is understood to have been the seventh branch. From him proceeded another sub-branch headed by Makadvajkara. Kara was the surname, this is the purport, of Makadvaj. At present, the surname is generally found in the Kayastha community. The Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, text 166, states, Dhanishta Bhaksha Samagrim Krishnayad Vrajamitam Saiva Sampritya Gauranga Priya Raghava Pandita. Raghava Pandit was formerly a confidential gopi in Vraj during the time of Lord Krishna's pastime. And his former name was Dhanishta. Dhanishta. This gopi Dhanishta always engaged in preparing foods for Krishna. So that's interesting because the same pastime is going on here, as we'll read later on. Tanhara bhagina damyanti prabhura priya dasi prabhura boga sam agri ye karavara masi. Raghava Pandit's sister Damyanti was the dear maidservant of the Lord. She always collected various ingredients with which to cook for Lord Chaitanya. So the pastime is very famous of Raghava Pandit, and of course Damyanti. Damyanti was his sister. And she would cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always. a variety of items. It said that after arriving, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again this is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, at the house of Raghava Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes the following statement. Now, I'm here in Raghava Pandit's house. All the fatigue of my journey has completely left me. The same result that one gets by immersing himself in the Ganges is achieved by coming to Raghava Pandit's house. Today we will have a festival here. So this is another reason why Lord Chaitanya is always there in the house of Raghava Pandit. Because he's saying here that he gets great relief from his fatigue simply by entering the house of Raghava Pandit. It's like taking a bath in the Ganges. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to say, in Raghava Pandit's house, Srimati Radharani herself cooked. Thus, within a short time, with Raghava Pandit's expert assistance, many variety of items were prepared. After the bhoga was offered to the deity, the two Prabhus, Sri Gauranga and Nityananda, sat down to honor the prasadam. What excellent cooking, the Lord declared. I've never eaten such tasteful shark anywhere else. So specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he liked spinach called shark. And it grows everywhere. If you go to Bengal, it's everywhere. It grows wild. But there are varieties of spinaches that you can have. I think there's about 12 varieties of spinach that you find in Bengal, and Mahaprabhu liked all the different varieties. And Raghava Pandit, of course, who was expert in cooking, because he is the gopi by the name of Dhanishtha, of course, and here he's so expertly cooking for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Antya Leela, what is it exactly that Raghava Pandit and Damyanti were preparing is mentioned? And I thought we'd sort of look at that, because it was tremendous, tremendous amount of items that were cooked, especially by Damyanti. And we find that often even in how much Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked Damyanti's cooking. And we find that even when Srila Prabhupada, he loved his sister's cooking, Pishima's cooking. Although it wasn't very good for him, because it was cooked in mustard oil and so on and so forth, but Prabhupada loved the cooking that was done for him. And when he was asked why, he said that because it is done with so much love and devotion. She has so much love and devotion for Srila Prabhupada, so when she cooks, she puts all her devotion into it. So Prabhupada very much would like that cooking. So very similar here, that Damyanti would be cooking for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there would be so much love and devotion. But the list is endless of what she used to make. So I thought, seeing that we have Mother Kalangana here, who's the expert cook here for the deities, we can read this list of names. Damyanti made varieties of unparalleled foods just suitable for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat. This is all from Antya Leela. The Lord ate it continually for 1 year. It said that she would cook these items and they would be taken all the way to Puri. The liquid items were in clay pots, and the other items, the dry items, were in special bags. And they would last 1 year. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate them the whole year. And then again, when the devotees would go to Puri, they would cook again. And these bags would be sent to him. And here's the variety of items. These are the names of some of the pickles and condiments in the bags of Raghava Pandit. So it seems like a lot of pickles were there. Variety of pickles. Amara Kashandi, Ada Kashandi, Jala Kashandi, Nimbu Ada, Amarakuli, Amshi, Amakanda, Talamra and Amsatya. With great attention, Damayanti also made dried bitter vegetables into powder. All of these items still exist. You can taste them if you go to Mayapur or places, and if you go to one of the devotees' houses locally, they still make all of these items. Do not neglect shukta, because it is a bitter preparation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derived great happiness from eating this shukta, then from drinking panchamrita. So he found the shukta, which is usually bitter, better than the panchamrita. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he extracts the purpose from everything. He accepted Damayanti's affection for him, and therefore he derived great pleasure even from the dried bitter leaves of shukta and from kashandi, a sour condiment. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It said that another name for Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. Bhava Grahi Janardana, one who accepts the actual sentiment that you have rather than the act. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu definitely very much is Bhava Grahi Janardana. And that's very good for us, because often we may not get everything right, but at least our intention was to do something good for Krishna. It may not have turned out that way. So Krishna very much, he reciprocates by looking at the intention rather than the action. So both are equally important, of course. You can't just have good intention and not do anything. You also have to have the right action as well. So both are needed, but specifically Bhava Grahi Janardana, he's that. I'll look at all of these different items very quickly before we finish class. Because of a natural love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Damayanti considered the Lord an ordinary human being. Therefore, she thought that he would become sick by overeating and would have mucus in his abdomen. So she was thinking that Mahaprabhu was an ordinary personality, just like the residents of Vrindavan. They thought Krishna was an ordinary personality. How can we protect him? How can we feed him? So similarly, Damayanti, of course, is thinking in the same way. Look at the list of items that they make. You know, often we may wonder what our menu is all about, but if you look at this menu, you could really do with a couple of restaurants here, if you're looking at this menu. Because of sincere affection, she thought the eating of shukta would cure the Lord's disease. Considering these affectionate thoughts of Damayanti, the Lord was very pleased. Bhava Grahi Janardana. The Lord was very happy just with those thoughts that Damayanti was thinking in this manner. Damayanti powdered coriander and aniseeds, cooked them with sugar, and made them into sweetmeats in the shape of small balls. She made sweetmeat balls with dried ginger to remove mucus caused by too much bile. She put all these preparations separately into small cloth bags. She made 100 varieties of condiments and pickles. 100 varieties. She also made Koli Sunti, Koli Churna, Koli Kanda, and many other preparations. How many should I name? She made many sweetmeats in the shape of balls. Some were made with powdered coconut, and others looked as white as the water in the Ganges. In this way, she made many varieties of long-lasting sugar confections. Here goes. Nice bunch of sweets we can be having. She made long-lasting cheese, many varieties of sweetmeats with milk and cream, and many other varieties prepared, such as Amrita Karpura. We'll have to speak to Vicharo after this class to have all of this in the shop. She made flat rice from fine, unboiled, Sali Paddy, and filled a large bag made of new cloth. She made some of the flat rice into puffed rice, fried it in ghee, cooked it in sugar juice, mixed it with camphor, and rolled it into balls. Such immense detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita just about what the Lord ate. You know, this thought is there that we don't know what God does all day, or people, other traditions generally are trying to figure out what God does all day. He's having a good feast. And even the menu is given here and how it's made. She powdered fried grains of fine rice, moistened the powder with ghee, and cooked it in a solution of sugar. She added camphor, black pepper, cloves, cardamoms, and other spices, and rolled the mixture into balls that were very palatable and aromatic. She took parched rice from fine paddy, fried it in ghee, cooked it in a sugar solution, mixed it with camphor, and made a preparation called ukda or mukdi. Another variety of sweets was made with fused peas that were powdered, fried in ghee, then cooked in sugar juice, camphor was added, and then the mixture was rolled into balls. And the author concludes, I could not mention the names of all these wonderful eatables, even in a lifetime. Damayanti made hundreds and thousands of varieties. You know, generally we're struggling to make 108 preps for on appearance days. Avirbhava, you know, we have to make 108 preps. And I think they make more than that many times. But here's one person, Damayanti, and she's making thousands of varieties just by herself. Damayanti made all these preparations following the order of her brother, Raghava Pandit. Both of them had unlimited affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and were advanced in devotional service. And it goes on just to something else here. Damayanti took earth from the Ganges, dried it, powdered it, strained it through a fine cloth, mixed it in aromatic ingredients, and rolled it into small balls. The condiments and similar items were placed into thin earthen pots, and everything else was put into small bags. So this is all wrapping it all up, paying such attention to detail here, isn't it? Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, they were so into detail, how everything is wrapped up and how it's packed. Generally when we're, you know, taking a plate of prasadam or something or whatever, you know, it may not be well packed or whatever. But here for the Supreme Lord, they're packing it so well. They've actually made these earthen pots and they're properly packed because they're going all the way to Jagannath Puri, and by road it will take a good month or more to get there. So they've got to survive that month. And then they have these small bags where everything is placed, and then they're inside a bigger bag and that's inside another bag, so nothing gets spoilt. No preservatives needed, obviously. It's sugar solutions and so on are preserving everything. Camphor is preserving everything. From small bags, Damayanti made bags that were twice as large. Then, with great attention, she filled all the large ones with the small ones. She then wrapped the seal. She then wrapped and sealed each and every bag with great attention. The bags were carried by three bearers, one after another. Thus, I have briefly described the bags that have become famous as Raghavera Jalla. And the superintendent who carried all these bags to Nilachal was Markadwaj Khara, who kept these bags with great attentions, just like his own life. So these bags would arrive in Puri, and immediately upon arriving there, they were delivered to Govind Prabhu, And Govind would look after all of these. And then every day he would make sure that a certain item was served to the Lord from Raghava Pandit's bags. So they became very, very famous throughout not just Bengal, but just also in Orissa as well. So these are some of the pastimes in concluding what Nimish Prabhu had started, our organizer of classes. Satchira Mandira Ara Nitya Nanda Nartan Srivasa Kirtan Ara Raghava Bhavan. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appeared in four places: in the house or temple of Mother Sachi, in the place where Lord Nityananda danced, in the house of Srivas Pandit during congregational chanting, and in the house of Raghava Pandit. Guru Premanandi.